inevitable.
Use your hands?
That's like a baby's toy.
I'm totally Batman.
Oh, man.
Shh.
We're communing with the Earth spirits.
Welcome to California, bud.
Cowabunga.
The world of magic.
And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes podcast. We're talking about the 2007 cult classic Trick or Treat. We hope you're ready for spooky season. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prog.
This cult doesn't make you kill yourself. This is DeLorean Wolfgang. Hey, nice. Fellas. Trick or Treat, it is spooky season. Even though we are almost done with spooky season, it's really good that we're doing this now.
Yes, finally. Right, the classic 2007 film Trick or Treat. Lowercase r, by the way. Just a...
This is the one night.
Don't forget your costume.
All sorts of things. Roam free.
The Halloween School Bus Massacre.
Always check your candy.
I feel like I need to clarify this. So it was originally supposed to release in 2007, but it was released United States in 2009. So it sat on the shelves for 2 years.
I wonder why. Interesting. We might have to dive into that.
Oh my God. The way you guys are talking is making me feel like you didn't like this movie.
What? I didn't say anything. I haven't said anything yet. I'm excited to talk about Trick or Treat.
Pre-show, so for the people who are listening at home, we don't talk about this stuff at all before we get on here. But I could hear it in their voice that these two didn't like it. So I'm gonna let you guys take over on your non-spoiler reviews of this movie.
I mean, you don't even want to spoil the actual non-spoiler review, right? I feel like you're already spoiling that.
This is me making an educated guess. I could be a school principal with this type of education guess.
Yeah, education guess, not educational guess.
I said educational guess to begin with, and then whenever I said, come on, keep up with me, people. Let's go. Let's do this. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So for those of you at home, we do our spoiler-free reviews of the movies and shows that we review first so that you can, you know, hear our takes and then go watch it if you haven't. And then we spoil the heck out of it. So
we dive into it deep, like...
I think Alex should be the first one to give us the spoiler-free take on this
movie. You know what? I absolutely will. So my take, I actually really enjoyed this. This is going to be a staple of my Halloween season for years to come. I actually loved it. I love that. It's so hard to talk about it without spoiling it. Oh my God. I mean, there's so much about this movie that's just so much fun. Like, they're taking so many different genres and mixing it into one. And, like, I just loved it. I really did. I had so much fun. So I'm going to say, I'll leave it at that. It left me smiling. This is going to be a staple for Halloween forever. This was my first time watching. But here's the thing. I've actually heard about this movie for years, and people have talked about it, and I've listened to podcasts about it. I've listened or I've watched YouTube videos on it, and never got around to actually watching it until we said, let's do this now. And even, dude, even on my stories, Instagram stories, I was posting saying, hey, tonight I'm home alone. I'm going to watch Trick or Treat. And then my wife would come home or something would happen where I just couldn't watch it. So 2 days later, I'm like, I'm finally getting around to it. And then again, something happened where I couldn't watch it again. So I'm glad I was able to find some time to sit down and watch this because I very much enjoyed it. And I hope, nice. I really hope that you guys feel the same.
Trevor, you want to go next? You want me to?
Oh, God, no. You guys.
I can go. So,
you're killing me.
I think my favorite part is that it's an hour and 15 minutes. So it wasn't too much longer than Muppets Haunted Mansion. So that was good.
Can we just say that it was better than Muppets Haunted Mansion?
I liked the Haunted Mansion parts of Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Oh, God.
No, so for Trick or Treat, I feel like it has good parts. I like the overarching idea of it, and I like Sam as a character. I think Sam was the definite standout of the thing, and I understand why he's kind of iconic and fits in like different collectibles that you've seen on the shelves. And I feel like he shouldn't have been such a small part of the film. So I thought that each story kind of, I don't know what the idea of the movie was. I don't know if it was trying to be goofy scary or if it was trying to be serious scary. It felt like it jumped between the two on the fly. And I think if it would have just decided, like, this is going to be a scary movie or this is going to be really fun, goofy, haha type of horror, I don't think you can do both. And I don't think it did do both well, but it tried. And so it just left me kind of like blah through the whole thing. Like, when it was over, I couldn't honestly remember much except rolling my eyes at a few different sequences of the interconnected stories.
Yeah.
Prague.
How do I put this? I like Trevor, I understand what the director was trying to go for here, and I admire that because it's very like what Creepshow tries to do, what the Twilight Zone movie did, but it just didn't do it well. And I think that if it had just stuck with one or maybe even just like two simple stories, it probably would have been better because none of the stories really had a resolution or much conflict. There was really no purpose or point to the film, which also left me really frustrated. And for most of the movie, I had no idea what was going on. I was just like, wait, am I watching this? That, like, I get it. Like, I read comic books. I've read many anthology type comic books, which this is modeled after. But those all seem to have like themes, purpose, and I felt like none of the stories had anything to do with each other except having to have happened in the same town for some reason at the same time. If the director is simply focused on one, like the story of Sam, who I had no idea that character was named Sam, the kid with the sack over his head. Had no idea because it never mentioned his name, his backstory, anything about the character. So I had to look up online at a Funko Pop and said, oh, his name is Sam. Okay. Great character design, liked the character, enjoyed it. But I don't know if I hated it or anything. I just was like saying that the whole time, like, I like this scene, I like this moment, I like this character design, I liked what they were doing here. But as a overall movie, like, it just kind of left me like, I don't even know if wanting more is the right word, but just kind of like disappointed and just kind of blah. Like, it is a thing that happened to me and I'm just going to move on. Never watch it again. No desire.
I feel like I can't disagree with
people out there that love it.
Well, have you guys seen Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
No. I never saw I've read the book. Yeah.
Yeah, so the movie came out, I don't know, before the pandemic, like 2019 or something. Mm-hmm. And it's by Guillermo del Toro. At least he oversaw it. And it had a very similar vibe where there's these stories and each story itself is kind of connected, but there's no, like, the stories are just so simple in scope. You don't really, it's like, that would be good if I was reading it and they build suspense. But when they play it out on screen, there's no suspense built at all. And it's just, they don't give the time to build tension to it. So you're kind of just watching it happen.
Yeah, that's why I felt like what I was doing with this movie. I felt like I was just watching things happen and not really having anything to, like, fear or worry about. Because, like, at the half the time, I was just like, what is happening and why? Especially the Anna Paquin storyline, which, I mean, I enjoy watching her because I like her very much. But other than that, I just didn't get it.
So, I mean, it's supposed to be something on the lines of you keep the Halloween spirit alive.
I get that. Like, okay. I get what they were trying to do. I just say I think they failed at delivering that to the audience. I think as a filmmaker, he failed to make that point. I get it because I kept watching him try to make that point, especially with, like, I don't want to spoil anything quite yet, but there are moments where I'm like, oh, this is what this is going to be about. It's about what you just said. But they never quite got there because they never told us that. It's almost like they should have held our hand a bit more, told us more information, or stuck to just one storyline.
Okay, I guess I could see that, because you could almost add an extra 20 minutes of a little bit more storytelling for to get those points across.
Yeah,
because it was a very short movie.
Yeah, you could set up the start where it's almost like that book thing, and you open the book and it said, if you don't do these certain things on Halloween, the Sackboy kid's going to come and do
exactly
stuff. Just the, it could be like two sentences.
There's no rules,
at least, right? Set it up.
Like, I felt like I didn't know what the rules were, what the stakes were, what anything was. There was no, like, inciting incidents. There was nothing. It was like, I don't know, it just didn't make any sense.
Well, did you guys ever watch, like, those movies like He's Not That Into You or Valentine's Day? It's kind of like a horror movie version of, like, that type of stuff. Or, like, Love Actually, the Christmas movie. This is like a horror movie version of those type of movies where they're all intertwined stories.
I understand what he was doing. Like, I get that. Love Actually makes sense. I watched that movie and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Every story makes sense. It has a beginning, a middle, an end. And you kind of see the theme throughout the whole thing is love. Simple. This is like, I had no idea what was happening half the time. I'm like, oh, there's just all connected because they're all in the same town. It was like, I guess I thought the theme was going to be the idea of Halloween being a tradition that you had to acknowledge, but it wasn't. They kept fumbling that ball. Like, they kept, like, I don't know. It's like they lost track of the football at some point. Like,
I think
they had no idea where it was. It was like a bunch of kids running on the field, like, just running everywhere. I'm like, okay.
It blows my mind to think that you guys, it almost seems like you guys couldn't find the fun in it. Like, this is just supposed to be just a fun goofball movie.
Trust me, there were moments where I was having fun. It was like, this is fun, but then the fun stopped because I'm like, well, that storyline just kind of went away, or it didn't make sense to me. I was like, all right. Like,
well, but that's not entirely true either, because there's moments where they all kind of meet up with each other. Not all meet up with each other, but they all bump shoulders at points throughout the movie.
Right, they do. But why?
Well, just because it's a fun goofball movie. Like, they're really, like, I don't know. I don't know.
You can make you can make a fun movie and make it better, is my point.
So my question was, you know those comics in the credits, the opening credits?
Mm-hmm.
Are those just for the movie, or is this actually based on a comic?
So this was actually supposed to be, there was supposed to be a comic by Wildstorm Comics was supposed to have a comic released at the same time as the movie. So this was going to be a continuation type of thing, and it was going to be ongoing. But there was, like, delays or something like that, and I don't think the comic was ever released. It may have been, like, really, really late, but from what I got, it wasn't released at the same time, and so it was just the movie out there. And then even the movie was supposed to fully premiere in 2007, and like I said earlier, this movie actually fully premiered nationwide on 2000, 9, which it is kind of wild to think that this movie was, I looked at it like this was a pretty well-made movie for 2009. It didn't seem like, I know that you mentioned that it felt like 1995 or something like that, but I couldn't.
It just had like a slick TV feel to me, not like a film. Like it didn't have a cinematic feel to me at times. Sometimes it does. At times it felt like an episodic TV show. Had like that overall slickness to it that is kind of hit or miss for me in horror. For example, like I like a lot of bad horror. Like I enjoy cheesy, terrible horror. That's kind of fun, right? And like this wasn't even quite that. Like it was almost like it could have been that at times, and then it kind of veered away from that. And I'm like, I like to Trevor's point, like I didn't know what the tone was. Like, are we trying to be super scary? Because at times it was like, wow, that's kind of, I wasn't expecting that moment to happen because it's been kind of goofy. So it's like, where's the balance in it? I'm not going to full on hate
that's
on
what
the movie.
I liked
it was
about
just a
it.
Mess for me. It was just kind of like, all right.
I guess that's what I liked about it is it felt like a roller coaster ride. Like, I felt like I was on a ride with this.
Yeah, I don't like roller coasters. So.
Yeah,
oh, I
like,
dude, love it.
No, like, there's this Secret Life of Pets ride at Universal Studios, and it's just like any of the Disneyland Fantasyland rides, like Peter Pan or Mr. Toad. It's almost identical. But they give you these big harnesses, like you're strapped in over the head, like you're about to go through multiple loops and stuff. And like, okay, what's going to happen? And then you just go at like 1 mile per hour and look at the pets and you're like, what's going on? That's how this movie felt as a ride
for
me.
Perfect. That is the best analogy for this film. That's what it is. Every moment you're like, oh my God, something crazy is going to happen. And then it just never happens. You're just looking at it happening. You're like, oh. All right,
well,
I guess we're going to go on to the next vignette that has no consequences or reasoning for happening.
So, Trevor, I don't know if you remember, but back in 2019, we did Halloween Horror Nights, and this Trick or Treat was one of the haunted...
It was one of the best mazes.
It was. It really was one of the best mazes, and I had so much fun in that because there was... Because of the different vignettes that you see throughout the movie, they went through in the... haunted house and did each vignette, which I mean obviously they're doing the scariest parts of each vignette, but it was like so much fun. Like that, I think that's what gave me so much more hype for this movie, because I felt like a little piece of me kind of lived through the town and what we went through because of Halloween Horror Nights.
I feel that in the same way, but in the opposite end, where it built up the hype and I thought it was going to be scary, because that maze was a particularly scary maze. Like, I can picture a sequence where it's a relative, like, usually in Halloween Horror Night mazes, it's tight. It's really tight corners. It's really tight things. And
right.
There was the sequence where it opened up and you could see this whole room and it stretched from end to end. It didn't turn. It didn't go off. And you were up ahead at the end, and I stood back at the entryway, and I could see this guy coming, and you didn't see him.
Oh,
and that
God.
Was the part where you fell down to your knees. And that was the best part of the night.
Nice.
And so
you
I just
insert that clip here on YouTube.
As red as my shirt.
Insert clip on YouTube right here.
We might have clips of that whole thing.
Maybe.
I know that we did Instagram lives throughout the whole haunted Halloween Horror Nights that year, but... But yeah, so
that's
should
fun.
We dive into the spoilers?
Yeah,
we're
pretty
almost
close on spoilers,
it.
So I think it's social time.
Okay, yeah, social time. So you can check out all of our episodes over on crossthestreamsmedia.com. You'll find links to all of our social media there. All of that at Secondary Heroes as well. You can listen to every one of our episodes on the site. You can leave us voicemails. You can leave us suggestions, the comments. Like, what do you like? What do you not like? Tell us.
I don't
us.
Like this movie.
Yep. Prague doesn't like anything, though. Clearly.
I'm starting to get that way. I don't know what's happening.
We just heard him not. Yeah. Anyways. And then there's other shows on there that you can check out. The really great stuff. There's, you know, the Movie Gap podcast, Three Beers and a Mic, Dan Aykroyd, and the list goes on. They're, like I say, every week they're adding more. And it's fantastic. They're really great, and I'm really glad that we're a part of them. But if you don't want to go to Cross the Streams Media, we are on every platform from Spotify, iTunes, all of Google Play, you name it, we're on there for podcasts. And other than that, we've got YouTube. And YouTube, you can look at us as we talk, which is not as fun as you would think. I don't know. I watch it on YouTube. I put it on. I got to pump those numbers up. Anyways, while you're over there on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe the podcast because it does help the algorithm. Because all of this is free for you and it's priceless to us.
Awesome.
Very nice.
So that means if you have not seen this movie yet, we're about to spoil it. And unlike Muppets Haunted Mansion, there are some parts you can actually spoil. So keep that in mind. If you haven't seen the movie yet, you come back and listen to it, talk about it. So do you guys want to go in order of the vignettes or just bounce around with like highlights, lowlights?
Well, I actually have the order like
we can go in order
listed out.
That's
right
fine.
Next to me. So we
can. I will say that the one of the strengths of this movie is the opening because it has like the classic slasher opening where you open with like a creative kind of kill of some characters that don't really exist in the rest of the movie, right? Like that's kind of like the slasher thing to do. And it was fun. It was right. Actually one of my favorite parts of the film.
It's a very Scream thing to do.
Yeah, it is.
Having kinda Drew like Barrymore get killed within the first 10 minutes of the movie. And then, yep. By the way, that's a spoiler for Scream. So if you haven't seen that, sorry.
Come on. For sure. At this point.
She's on the movie poster, anymore. But barely in the movie. But I would say that was, I liked the tension in that part, but I didn't like the fact that it was like past midnight and she's like, I hate Halloween. Let's take down all this stuff.
Oh, I know. It was totally over the top and silly.
That didn't make sense.
The script and dialogue of that whole sequence was terrible.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Once she starts taking the stuff down, that was the only time they used music. Because horror movies are going to get you in sounds more than anything else. And that was the only time where they built tension where she's pulling down the sheet and they're building up the music. And you're like, okay, she's going to go from sheet to sheet. And there's one sheet where she's going to die. And then nothing happens. And that was a nice twist to where nothing did happen. And you're like, okay, it's easy. And then she gets killed.
Right. Yes. And gets all caught up in the sheets. And then there's blood splatter inside the sheet. You don't actually see much that happens under the sheets. You just see the blood start soaking into the sheets as kids are walking by with their bags and see this
and
happening.
Running away. And running don't call away. The cops. Just like running away.
Now, at this point, the reason why she's getting killed is because she walked up to a pumpkin and blew out the candle. And her boyfriend,
cool. Yes,
that's one of the rules. And the boyfriend said, there's lore that you shouldn't blow out the jack-o'-lantern's light before it goes out on its own or whatever. So she broke the rule. And the fact that she hated Halloween as well, Sam, our sackhead kid, Pumpkinhead kid, what I don't know what to call him. Let's just call him Sam. Sure. He's Sam. The iconic part of this whole movie. Like when you see him, I light up when I see him because he's not just adorable. He's deadly. I like that. I don't know. Deadly it's very cute. Cool. So deadly cute. Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he sees her blow out the pumpkin. He sees her say, I hate Halloween. She starts taking down all the decorations before Halloween's even over. And she gets killed. So and that's kind of the theme. If you don't believe in Halloween and you don't have that Halloween spirit. Now, it does divert a little bit in some sections. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. In some sections, it does divert a little bit. But
like
for
the
most part, they tried to keep with the rules. And I like that.
Because there's rules at the very start, and they list them off, and you're like, okay, I'm getting it, but they didn't establish, they didn't keep the rules going. Because one of the rules is never go to a stranger's house. So, on Halloween, imagine trick-or-treating and never going to a stranger's house.
You
I guess I'm not leaving the house.
You wouldn't be able to do anything. Yeah. But you would be able to go to, like, I mean, the big party. I mean, this town looked like probably one of the most fun Halloween parties I've ever seen.
Oh, for sure. It was like Mardi Gras, but Halloween.
It's great. Exactly. And it looked insane and bonkers. And I'm like, I want to be a part of that party. Where can I find that party?
Right.
It looks
so
great.
I think the beginning of this film is also kind of my biggest hangup is that when I saw the posters and I saw Sam everywhere for years, I thought this movie was going to be about Sam, and it really isn't, which is kind of annoying. And I think you could have built a really good, strong film out of just that character and had him tied into the bus driver and had that be the main story, or have some kind of background on him, like something happened to him, maybe he was killed on Halloween or something. Like, give us a reason why he's doing this. That would have made it more interesting to me. And you could have kept him, and he could have been the through line for all the different narratives in some way, for some reason. Like, maybe he keeps showing up to kill the person that doesn't do the thing, but he just keeps showing up at the scene just to be there, like, to be cute. Like,
okay. Yeah, he should be the arbiter of Halloween. Like, he's like the Halloween the rules enforcer. And
and if you don't, when he shows up
in the second and third ones, he's just there watching. And I don't know why they're like, Easter egg Sam. I don't know why they decided Easter egg and Sam instead of Sam actually being the enforcer of everything that went wrong.
Right, like, well, almost like summoning him, like, hey, these people don't like Halloween. You need to kill them.
You better watch. Yeah, you better watch out. Here comes Sam. This character, Sam.
He's like, oh, look, he's a cute little kid.
Wow. He's like the Halloween version of Santa Claus, but rather he kills you.
It would have been such a great movie.
See, okay, now I'm kind of getting on board with what you guys are saying. I like this.
They have the good elements. That's what's so disappointing. Like, honestly, the first opening sequence was good. And the end with Sam in the house and the old guy, that was good. But the middle, I don't really care about the, I don't care about the principal storyline. I don't care about the Anna Paquin storyline. Those were just weird.
I think the principal, and if you guys want to move on to the next, so if we're going to go in sections, the opening was the woman getting killed because she hates Halloween.
Right.
She shows up throughout the movie. This movie jumps around a bunch, so you're not looking through a straight line, which is awesome. I love that. I think it's so much fun because you get to see these.
One weird thing about the opening. So she hates Halloween, but literally she went to a Halloween costume party as well as decorated her house. Don't you usually decorate your house if you're expecting kids to come? That's kind of the idea of decorating your house. But if you're going to go to a party, you know you're not going to be at your house. Like, you can't do both. You can't be in two places at once. And then on top of that, to hate Halloween. Hate Halloween would be like a Ebenezer Scrooge, where her house, all the lights are off, it's pitch black, nobody goes there.
Like the bus driver kind of thing. Like, that was
Again, I see the mistakes made with that type of stuff.
She could have just said, I'm done with Halloween. Like, I did the whole bunch, and I'm tired. Just done.
Let's
with
just go
Halloween.
To bed. I'm done. We've been doing this all month.
Blowing out the candle. Not right, I hate exactly. Halloween.
Right. Okay. See, just a little bit of script tweaking. Which
like a mistake.
Would have made that
like,
better.
Oh, I just want to blow out the candle, and maybe that was the mistake.
Yeah.
Not so, that she hates Halloween.
So after the opening, we get the principal scene, where you get this bad kid knocking over jack-o'-lanterns. And as he's now cutting over jack-o'-lanterns, he looks up at this porch and sees a big bucket of candy. He walks up to the front and just dumps the entire bucket of candy in his bag.
The bucket says, take one, please.
Yes.
The classic take one piece of candy.
Classic take one.
Never gonna take one.
Especially when you got full-size candy bars.
Full-size belly.
So, and you'll recognize this kid from, I believe it was Bad News Bears or something like that, the more recent one. And so it turns out that it was the principal's house, the principal to the school, and he was coming home at the perfect moment to see this happening. And he makes the kid eat the candy. And so what did you guys feel about this scene?
I don't think I understood any of it. Like,
really?
The whole scene.
I found
everything
this to be
that
very...
scene to the backyard to his kid. I just didn't understand. I don't know why this was in the movie at all, honestly. I mean, I enjoyed the barfing scene. That was kind of fun. Like him belching all over him. Like, it was fun. Well, like that aspect of it. I just didn't understand what was happening or why.
And what a kill that was, man. Man, all that puke and chocolate.
That was great.
So gross.
It's like a Gustus gloop.
That's what it felt
like. I just didn't get it. I just didn't understand the whole point of this. There was also that scene where the three kids from the other story show up, and the one kid's like looking at like all the chocolate and blood, and like nothing ever happens after that. He just looks at it all like scared, and then that was it. That's the thing. This whole movie is moments like that the whole time. It's like, oh, we're going to lead up to this storyline crossing, and then nope.
Now, do you guys think that could be just a bunch of like they're almost doing like a bunch of red herrings throughout the movie? But almost too many red herrings. I mean,
it just didn't work.
Yeah. Too many Mephistos all over.
With that whole sequence, I think what is dumb is the kid, is the principal's son, I think, ruins that whole, like,
because he's just like the Babadook all over again. I wanted to throw that kid out the window.
So annoying.
Oh, God, it was so funny.
Carved his head. Can you imagine if they have carved his head? Oh, that'd been fantastic.
But dude,
ready for it.
But that's how kids are. Kids are annoying. So what we're talking about right now is he takes the kid who pukes and he throws him into a grave in the backyard.
Right.
And as he's digging, or as he's trying to bury the kid in the backyard, his son comes to the window. Dad, are we good? Starts yelling. Just starts yelling a bunch of BS.
Which is fine. BS. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like what a kid would do as his dad is burying another kid.
Right. And I mean, funny. I get that.
Even what he's saying is like...
But what he's saying is so bad. The script is so bad. Like, what kid is gonna say this stuff?
Well, no,
like, it wasn't even funny bad. It wasn't even like, oh, that's pretty funny. I don't know. It doesn't make
I found
sense.
It funny. Maybe that was just me. But
maybe.
And then it turns out that the next door neighbor is also tied to another story that we get to later on, which is pretty cool how that was the neighbor and all this stuff. And pretty neat stuff, but... It's kind of hard to talk about this movie because it does jump around all over the place.
Talk it all in sequence. So he's burying the kid, and then he's trying to keep it on the DL because he's literally burying a kid in the backyard. And so his neighbor comes out. He's like, what are you doing, burying a body? And for some reason, it's his own backyard. There's no view on that backyard. And he's still trying to be secretive. And that he thinks his son somehow yelling for his attention is gonna put, I don't know, the neighbors on guard that his son is asking for his dad to carve pumpkins. Oh, I'm gonna go look.
Oh, better.
Oh my God. I'm a neighbor. I just heard my neighbor's son asking for his dad to carve pumpkins on Halloween. I better go look and see what's going on. This is some suspicious stuff.
I think it was more on the lines of, hey, shut up, you're waking up the neighbors.
Who cares? He's not, it's his own backyard. There should be no eyes on that backyard. He's not burying him in the front yard. He's not out in like some thing where a bunch of people are going to pass by.
It's like a movie was made by somebody who's never like lived life. Doesn't know how things work.
Because we've all buried bodies in our backyard, guys.
No, but I've been in my backyard before.
You are
going to
bury bodies in the backyard.
And who? How do you know I haven't?
I said we all did.
I don't even have a backyard. That's one of the problems of owning a townhouse.
Yeah. Oh, living in LA.
Yeah.
Anywho, so he
but no,
he
there's already a kid in that hole. That's the thing.
I know. I kind of wanted to know what was going on with the other kid.
I wanted to know about the other kid too.
Yeah. I'm like, what is happening here? So anyways, so he
Nobody knows. That's the problem with this movie. No idea.
I feel like and like we said earlier, if they just had a little bit more time to delve into a little bit of these vignettes more, they would probably make a little bit more sense.
Yeah. Because, so the kid pukes up a bunch of, like, chocolate, but then he starts picking up blood because when he starts passing out the candy to the next kid, he has blood all on him, and the kids are like, oh, what a great costume that is. But then... I think that kid's dead because the kid in the hole already is the one who's like grabbing his leg, right? Because he has like a clown hand, and the other kid
doesn't
have
a different
have
costume,
that.
Right?
Yeah,
it was a different kid.
Oh,
so it was a fresher kill.
Yeah,
but how could it be a fresher kill? I don't understand. The timing of this movie was really weird. They jumped around because they went back to it being 8 p.m. because the parade had already started. The party had already started on the TV. They did that a few times, but it didn't make sense with her already being done with Halloween. There's no way it was after midnight by the time she got home. It was weird timing things because they tried to make the original, the first vignette lady in everybody's storyline.
Right.
Yeah.
And it does not make sense for her to be that. I agree.
Hmm. But I mean, it wasn't like it was midnight. Maybe I looked at it like
midnight. I thought it was late too.
But yeah.
I don't even think that it was. But after the principal does this, and he has the neighbor connect to him, the only reason this principal storyline existed is to connect with other storylines. Like, they were like, let's back-end engineer the principal. Because the principal, the main thing is he's actually this wannabe vampire who's going out and killing
biting girls
ladies.
And killing them, yeah.
But why the kids then? It's like, that's what I don't get. Like, I just don't
understand. Just a murderer.
As a
he just murders.
He's a murderer.
Okay. And he's raising his child to be a murderer too, because what we see is that big fat.
Oh, I get it. I know.
No, well, I'm letting our listeners know.
Oh, okay. We haven't gotten to that part.
I forgot we haven't gotten to that part.
So he goes inside and his dad and his kid's like, oh, let's carve the pumpkin. So they go, he goes, okay, let's go to the basement. So they go down to the basement and he takes his big butcher knife and hides it behind his back as he goes down. So in our heads, we're thinking he's going to kill his son. Cause who
of
goes
course.
To the
I was,
basement?
I was so happy.
To carve
I was like,
pumpkin.
Yes.
So we,
best
they go down.
The, film.
Oh, what a prick.
No, you didn't. I was like, oh,
so he goes down there and he raises the knife up real high and just rams the knife down. And we're like, whoa, he probably just killed his son. And then it shows that it's the fat kid's head on a Lazy Susan and they spin it around and it's just the head. And the kids are, don't forget the eyes, Dad. And it's like, ooh, that's eerie. That's kind of cool. But like, you know what I mean? Like, he's raising his kid to be the same.
It has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. That's the thing that I just don't understand.
Like the werewolves had anything to do with the rest of the movie.
No, that's why I thought it was dumb. Exactly.
But that's what makes it fun. It's like, who cares? It's like, let's just have fun with it.
But it wasn't that fun, I think.
It wasn't fun. Yeah, that's my problem. I didn't have fun with it. I wish.
When did he cut off the kid's head to put him down there?
Yeah.
And how is the other kid still alive? Why didn't he cut that kid's head off who's already in the hole and he's still grabbing his hand and he's...
Is this a third kid? Is this a third kid's head?
Because he did... No, it was definitely the little fat kid.
Then it makes no sense in the time.
Yeah.
The time.
Either way.
That
so
sack
let's
should
move
be bloodier
on to
that he's
one,
burying
then.
Him in because he should have an open neck wound that... I've never cut a person open, but just the amount of blood that pumps through somebody's body, there's got to be so much blood if you cut off their head. Unless he froze it and he didn't have time to freeze it.
Well, let's move on to the next vignette. This is
well,
the
one
Halloween
thing about
school
the fat
bus
kid
master.
That annoyed me.
Okay.
Was that he was dragging his pillow case of chocolate just on the ground. I was like, no one on earth who's ever gone out on Halloween drags their candy on the ground and through the mud and everything.
Yeah, the
because
whole time
kids,
he did
when
that.
You go out trick or treating, that's a big deal, that candy you have. That's the reason you go out. Okay?
That's the reason you're going out.
You're not going to just let it be just destroyed and... Because it wasn't like it's some California city where it's just dry. It was like Ohio. It's mud everywhere.
Ohio.
It just rained. It's nasty out there.
Fictional town of Warren Valley, Ohio.
Nice. I thought it was guts in that bag. That's why he was dragging
it.
I wanted it to be
special too. Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was like his candy. I was like, oh. Because it looked like guts to me. It looked like mushy guts. No, just candy.
They could have just one-upped everybody where they were all killers and they just kept, because they have the idea where the principal gets killed by the werewolf.
Yes,
so
by a killer.
You just
and
keep
then
going
kill,
up.
Yes,
you think, oh, this guy's a murderer. This is, so if the kid killed somebody and he had guts in his bag and then the principal kills him and then the principal gets killed by the werewolf, that would have been great.
God, that would have been great.
That's kind of fun. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that idea.
Sure. All I know is whenever I watch a movie and I'm thinking about how to make it better, that's usually not a good sign for the film that I'm watching.
We literally do that for every movie that we review on here.
We watch a lot of bad movies on here.
We do watch a lot of bad movies. We need to really step it up.
So
I like half of them. Anyway,
it doesn't
so
mean you can't enjoy them.
The
I enjoy a lot of bad movies.
Move on to the next one. Halloween School Bus Massacre. This one is pretty much... I don't know. Where do you guys want to start with this one?
So this one, it's the cornerstone of the whole movie that ties everything together, but only halfway through. The first half isn't contingent upon this, besides the kids showing up at the principal's and asking for trick-or-treat. And for some reason, those kids then go to another teacher's house, and she's having like a rager, and that was just, I don't know what that scene, that was the weirdest scene. They're just like, what?
Well, yeah. And they talk about it. I think I just saw Coach Henderson.
Yeah, we know. Yes.
Yeah. We know. I don't know if
I
our
still
fans
want to talk
know.
About it. I know.
It just was so
it
unnecessary.
It was an orgy. Just say it was an orgy. It was unnecessary. Yes.
Yeah. Well, of course
he was wearing a hot
None
dog
of this
costume.
Stuff was necessary.
But anyway, so this one gets into the scary stories to tell in the dark. This is the one where it's an actual are you afraid of the dark type of ghost story where the little girl tells the story of this story. And they go back, they do the little flashback, and they put it with a sepia tone so that way you know it's in the past. And they tell us what's going on of this school bus. And the school bus is all these essentially special needs kids, and their parents are done with them. So they pay the bus driver to essentially drive them off a cliff and kill them. Because that's what good parents do. And so the bus driver has everybody strapped in. He has them chained in, except for the one kid who knows that they're going the wrong way this one fateful day. And he checks everybody's chains, and he literally checks this kid's chains. And for some reason with this kid, he doesn't pull up the chains. He just checks these leather bracelets of the one kid that is going to escape. And so he does that, and the kid goes and gets the bus, and they all drive over, including with the bus driver. And that's the ghost story. And they only do this for this other kid that they go and meet, Rhonda, who is an idiot savant.
Which I don't know if you could say that anymore.
You can say idiot savant, but they couldn't say the other term before they called her idiot savant. And that's why I'm not going to repeat it either.
No. Watch the movie, fans.
Or don't.
Yeah. No, do. Make it a staple.
Imagine if you were kids and your way to think of a fun Halloween is to prank the kid who's already an outsider. Like, have they never watched Carrie? Why, if you're in a horror movie, would you not be knowledgeable of other horror movies?
Yeah, it's just not believable. But here's my thing that about the bus driver scene that really bugged me the most. So you have the kids that kind of that one kid that frees himself. He's like, he's in on it. He's like, oh, wait, this bus driver is going to try to kill us. He took us the wrong way. I would have like turned the bus a different way, like, and saved myself. Like, he was going to die either way.
He's
not 8 years old. Sorry, I'm sure that kid was like 18. But either way.
Are you kidding? Give me a break.
That kid was
okay.
Old.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw their hands, but they were old.
The parents could have been like, dude, move out. We don't want you here anymore.
Probably
get
exaggerating
here.
With
way.
Hyperbole. They were like
either
14.
Way.
They definitely weren't way. Eight.
Yeah. They were old. They're old enough to know. And my point is that if I don't know how to explain my point. My point is he saw that the driver went the wrong way, right? He said, wrong way, wrong way. Why did he continue to kill them when he knew he was going to die anyways? It makes no sense.
No, I get Prog's point. If they're going the wrong way, why wouldn't he at least use the wheel?
He knows.
No matter, even if you've never known a car, at the youngest age, you know that the wheel turns the car. They have those little, like, toddler toys that have the wheel on them. But he's, like, shifting gears and stuff.
No, I'm going to kill me. Like, what? That has to be the dumbest moment of any movie that I've ever watched in my entire life.
Oh, come on.
Full stop.
Come on.
There is nothing dumber in the history of cinema than that moment. Ladies and gentlemen, write that down. Thanks. Be here all day.
Write that down.
Write that down.
I am going to, you know what? I'll let you guys finish up the school bus one then.
So the school bus one, they scare the little kid by getting these ornate costumes that they hid down in the quarry to change into just to scare this little outsider girl for no reason whatsoever. And then she does freak out. Her glasses are gone. And then it turns out those bus kids are like
zombies.
Ghouls now. Yeah, they're zombies that just haunt everybody who comes down into this rock quarry, and they have to tell the story in advance. And so the little kid who got scared, she has the keys to the elevator that goes up in the quarry, and she closed the doors on them and lets them get eaten by the zombie school bus kids.
Keep in mind she also knows that she knows the rules as well. Don't blow out your candle. You'll be safe with your jack-o'-lantern. She tells
right,
the other
but at this
kid
point,
that.
Like,
but
we don't, we like, I don't think we were paying attention to that.
Why
do,
like, even her front yard, whenever they go see her to go meet up with her, her house is covered in jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh, I know. I noticed.
And do you think that she did that for a reason? Because she knows that there's something up?
When they're walking there, yeah, she tells all the rules.
Yeah, the intent is there. It's
you forget because, yeah, you just don't care. Like, they say the rules so, like, blasé. They're like, oh, here, let's just throw it out, and you think it's just more boring dialogue from the principal sequence, or whatever, because the dialogue sequence, they just talked about seeing the orgy of their teachers, and then they go on to, what, telling the rules of Halloween that Sam is supposed to come out for, or something? I don't know. You can't have those back-end dialogue things and have one, like, I'm zoning out.
Yeah, at this point, I'm like, I don't care about these kids. Just be killed already. You guys are awful. I don't care about any.
Oh, let me read into the pumpkins in this kid's yard. Maybe that will have a deeper meaning to what's going on in this.
I looked deeper.
I thought she just liked decorating pumpkins because she has all a bunch of time on her hands and doesn't have friends. Because they were all like, hate pumpkins.
She's a spooky kid.
I will say the decorations in this movie from the first scene with all of the hanging across the ghost that they had, and then all the pumpkins. I would love to do both of those. I think having that in my front yard would look so good, and I'm gonna next Halloween. I'm gonna try that because it looks so good.
You brought up the pumpkins though, so once we get to the end sequence with the old guy, he opens the door and he gives candy to kids, and then he opens the door again, and all of those pumpkins just appear in his yard. And now I'm realizing they're the same pumpkins from Rhonda's house.
Yeah, that's what I figured as well.
I didn't care.
Do you know
at the first
that
point.
He's the bus driver,
right?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just trying not to get to the bus driver sequence yet.
Oh, okay.
For our
fans, because
but,
the
hey,
next.
Breaking news, the bus driver lived. We see in the flashback that the bus driver gets out. The little girl says, and telling her story, that everyone died, even though it would have been much scarier if she ended her story. Oh, but the bus driver got away as some zombie mangled thing who comes every Halloween and knocks on your door and kills you or something. That would have been a better ghost story. It's like they never watched Are You Afraid of the Dark? Are You Afraid of the Dark had better ghost stories from kids than this movie does. Oh, it's not even close, Alex. This was not a scary story at all. She just told... That was like a true crime podcast is what she literally just told.
Okay. I agree with that.
It was like the movie The Sweet Hereafter or something. It's like, oh, have you seen that movie, The Sweet Hereafter?
So anyways, the idiot savant gets away in the elevator as she watch or listens to the other kids who were bullying her get mauled by the ghouls or something. We don't see it. It's all off screen.
Unfortunately.
Then we move to our next vignette.
Well, then Sam is there when she gets to the top of the elevator just to walk by Sam. I thought Sam was going to do something. I didn't think he would just be like, he didn't even give her a hat tip. I wanted a hat tip. I wanted some kind of acknowledgement.
If he took his little pop and his lollipop and just ting ting. Haha. But she was holding a jack-o'-lantern that was still lit. So he had no reason to do anything with her. He didn't care about her.
But he was there. Somehow he just knew
everywhere, man. He's everywhere.
Yeah, we need more kind of... Like, we have the idea of what Freddy Krueger does. If you're going to have, like, a horror villain, I think you need to give some ground rules and settings for what they do.
A background. A meaning. A name. A name would have been nice. You know, if I knew who this guy was. So, anyway.
So
we should move
on
from this vignette.
Our next vignette is the surprise party, which was a surprise to me. That I mean, I knew what was happening because I had listened to podcasts before about this, but I thought it was cool how they did this. And
it would have been fine if that were like another movie altogether, you know, like a whole separate movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it was pretty much The Craft.
It just doesn't make sense to this movie at all. I think
it felt like The Craft with werewolves instead of witches.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a cool look.
This is the one where it put me over the top of, I don't know. So at first I thought everything was going to have like an explainable reasoning to it. And then we got the zombie kids who were somehow still alive. And now this universe also has werewolves in it too. Like, I understand having Sam. That's cool. But now this universe that Sam exists in, all crazy Halloween things exist. There's no point of Sam if werewolves exist and zombies exist.
Yeah. It's not as scary anymore. It kind of diminishes his...
He's just one of... Imagine if every horror was real. None of them stand out.
Yeah. It neuters him.
Sam does. Sam always does.
Nobody cares about Sam because werewolves will just eat him or something. I don't know.
Maybe exactly.
vegan he's immortal, werewolves
eat
dude.
Him. No,
he's...
vegan werewolves eat him because he's made of pumpkin. Done.
There you go.
He's nice. Immortal, my dude.
No,
dudes.
Vegan werewolves eat him. He's not coming back out of that. Once he gets digested by a werewolf, he's not going to immort out of that.
I don't know. Thank you.
Yeah, he's going to reassemble himself. That's what the movie I want to see. I want a werewolf to eat the pumpkin Sam. And they poop out pumpkin seeds, and he grows back out.
And then we get multiple Sams through the season.
Yeah, anyway, sure.
Dude, we're almost to an hour. We've got to rush through the rest of this.
No, we don't. Who cares? It's a terrible movie that deserves
I loved it.
To be
I thought
ripped
it was
apart.
So much fun, and I'm going to stick with that. I think it's a fun movie that it doesn't need to have no deeper meaning behind any of this. It
but
was
you're
just
trying
fun.
To give me deeper meaning, Alex. Every time I'm telling you it's stupid, you're giving me deeper meaning. It has to choose. Does it want deeper meaning or not?
Thank
it's
you.
Fun.
Yes, that's the point we're trying to make.
It's fun. That's
then
the
if
point
it's fun,
I'm
the rules
to
don't
make.
Matter. It should
some
be like, whose line
can.
Is it anyway, if you're just going to have fun with it?
I didn't have fun with this movie, though. So I don't know.
Yeah, but
did
I
you like when they of... peeled off the skin, like
oh,
rubber
that was
skin
so
prosthetics?
Gross.
It was awful. It was some bad.
That was gross
that
looking.
Was,
no, I
work.
Thought that was pretty cool.
Oh the werewolves were some of the worst effects. Like that's why I thought the werewolves made me think it was a 1995 film.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what happens is a group of girls go out into the woods, but first they're at the party where they bump into the robot lady. At this point, they are trying to find dates to this big party in the woods. They do find dates, and they all go to the woods, and it turns out they're werewolves, and they're eating people, which I thought was a pretty cool scene, because it was one of those things that you were not expecting, like... Did you guys, either one of you guys, expect werewolves to show up in this movie?
No.
I did not expect werewolves, but I think the surprising aspect is that the vampire guy was the principal. And he had a
very busy
night.
Yeah, that was more surprising. Yes.
Very busy night.
Like how?
He's killing kids at home, and then he changes into costume, and he's out killing girls. I mean...
Nothing about it makes sense.
And that's like 2 hours span. Like, he buried those kids... And he filled that whole hole in, and he put the gnome on top, and then he's out helping his kid, and then he's changing and going out. That's
this
a lot.
Movie is kind of like that story that like a 5-year-old kid would tell you in a long car ride as they're just like making things up as they go along kind of thing, where it's like, oh, okay,
hey,
shut up, Timmy.
If my kid came up with this whole movie, I'd be like, all right, we got something
here. Oh, man,
here.
Go back to film school, kid.
Ooh, we got yikes. Something here.
Yeah,
anyway, so they do the werewolf thing. They kill the teacher, and Sookie from True Blood comes out, and she goes, it's my first time, and that's when she eats him. And that's I just really liked Sookie from True Blood. I don't know.
Oh,
so
yeah, I like
this
watching
one,
her.
They
that's
had
I said.
The...
Yeah.
The... This story kind of intermingled with the principal story to begin with, because they first show him trying on their costumes, and Anna Paquin, her character is essentially really shy. She's younger than her older sister. She's a virgin. She's not going to wear as revealing as costumes as her friends and all that stuff.
Right.
And so we get that introduction before we get full on. Now it's the kind of idea where it's a girl alone at night on Halloween, and you think that there's a sexual predator because we just saw the guy essentially kill this other lady at the party in an alley. And so, oh, this guy's chasing her. Oh my God, he's going to do it again. And then they flip it by her being a werewolf. I appreciate the storyboarding of that, but I feel like the on-film execution of it left me just not caring at all. Like, there's no tension when she's walking down that
Nailed
road
it.
And the guy's behind her. I don't care if she gets killed or not.
I
kind of want
I just
her
didn't
to get
care
killed.
About anybody in this movie.
You're
supposed
and then
to,
when
it's
he gets
movie.
Killed instead, I don't care because I don't find him particularly evil, even though they showed him killing people. Like, they didn't make me care about the characters, and you have to do that.
You have to. It's horror. That's like
well,
a staple of horror. Like, either you
the
hate
thing.
The
it's
character or you love the
time.
Character. Either one has to happen. If you love a character, you don't want them to die. If you hate a character, you want them to die. I felt nothing for any of these characters, except for the kid. They didn't kill him. So...
Oh, I felt fart. For Sam. I felt for Sam. Always love Sam.
Well, so that's, again, the best sequence. I said that in the spoiler part. So once we get past the werewolves, the movie, like, starts. this yeah, is like, kind it, of that, what that's the movie true. It's kind of
the
been.
Film like happened. He was like, oh, here's minutes. The movie.
And so the old guy is the neighbor who we see from the principal. The principal's neighbor is this, like, essentially Halloween curmudgeon. And he scares kids and steals their candy. And I guess that was one of the rules. If you steal someone else's candy, you get Sam to come and get you. I don't know what rule that was. They didn't explain that rule. But that angered Sam the most. So he actually shows up in person. He doesn't just watch from afar for this one. And so he goes and he's... We get to see all his kind of like demented ideas. He crawls across the roof. He
ceiling.
Can have
yeah,
his
on
hand
the ceiling,
crawl
yeah.
along by itself.
His name was Mr. Wilkins. Mr. Wilkins.
No, Mr. Wilkins is the principal. The name is Mr. Krieg.
Krieg. That's what it is. Yeah. Sorry. Krieg Wilkins. Yeah. There it is. So sure. Krieg, he has a shotgun and. Yeah. He shoots, and in this sequence, he goes out back because he keeps hearing noises around his house, and he goes out back, and that brings us back to the beginning principal scene where he's burying right. the kid, and he's saying, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, nothing, leave me alone. And he goes, oh, okay. So he's carrying around a shotgun, and he finally gets attacked by Sam. Sam attacks this guy. By stabbing him with a razor blade that's hidden inside of a candy bar, which, by the way, check your candy, everybody.
That was the rule. The rule was check your candy, but that was for the fat kid. But somehow it also is here. It was weird.
But how do you check your candy for poison?
You don't. You eat it. You let your friend eat it that you don't really like. You let the idiot savant eat it. That's what they should have done with the idiot savant. Here's our candy. Try it. We don't try to scare them. You just use them as poison tester.
Right. They should have done is killed her, and that would have been the tragedy, the horror, and they felt bad about it. Horror. People don't understand horror, and it really makes me sad.
So he shoots Sam multiple times. And as
I like
he's
the point
him,
blank range one, because again, Sam, he's like a little kid. He's the size of like a 5 or 6 year old. And when he flies across the room after getting shotgunned, that's a great scene.
So good. And when he is point blank shooting him, you're seeing pumpkin seeds and pumpkin innards being sprayed everywhere. It's not like it's blood. It's not gory or anything. It's just seeds and pumpkin pieces flying everywhere. And then, is this where he takes the hood off of him? Or no, not yet. He starts being put back together. Sam does.
Because he blasts his hand off, and his hand can crawl by itself. And then it reattaches itself to it.
Right.
And then I think Sam takes the hood off all right by himself just to show his awesome face.
And his face is awesome. It's like half skull, half pumpkin.
Right.
It looks creepy. But I think I just love the sack over his head.
He's creepier with the sack. When he's walking in the dark and he's just standing there with like dead eyes in the sack, that's creepy.
The best part for me is like if they, I almost wish they didn't pull off the sack. Like just the mouth showing, like that big wide mouth, like would have been enough.
If they lifted the sack up just enough to see the mouth.
Or they tore off just the bottom of it or something.
Rather than seeing the eyes and whatnot.
Right. But yeah. It's cool looking, but...
Sam, so before he shoots him, he gets to scare him a bit. He goes up to his bedroom, and there's all the blood writing on the wall that's, you know, reminiscent of that. The Shining Simpsons episode. But it's all like trick-or-treat and all that different stuff.
Yeah.
And then the pumpkin turns to flames, and then he goes to shoot him, and Sam can disappear. And so we get to kind of get to see his abilities. And then another ability is he's coming back down and Sam can just leave candy everywhere. And the guy slips and falls down the stairs on the candy.
The razor blade candy. Yeah. Lots of razor blade candy.
To go into the idea of Sam just going around and killing people by using candy and just like creepy stuff. You could have had a whole movie of Sam killing people with everything that's celebrated in Halloween, where you could have flaming pumpkins and candy and just all these things that he brings to life that's just normal
Trevor,
Halloween stuff.
You get it. Exactly. This is what I wanted this movie to be. It could have been 2.5 hours of that. It would have been fantastic. Instead, we had an hour of a crap.
I agree
Absolutely
with you guys.
Dreadful, boring crap.
I agree Yes. If we had a standalone Sam movie, it would have been that movie would be amazing as well. I still like this movie, but yes, I do agree with you guys. Having a Sam movie would be so much fun. It would be more of a horror movie rather than this comedy horror that we got. But who knows?
It could still be comedy horror.
I don't know. This is pretty comedy. I found myself laughing.
So I guess the question of comedy comes down to personal. So comedy always is relatively subjective versus objective. But if they try to direct it as comedy and it doesn't come across as comedy, does it count as comedy?
I don't know what to say there, man.
That's more of a philosophical idea of what comedy counts as. But one question at the end. Did the old guy have a breathing problem? It seemed in some sequences he sounded like Darth Vader, and other sequences there was no noise at all. And I don't know, was Sam breathing like that, confused. Or was the old guy breathing like that?
That was my confusion throughout the movie, because at the beginning of the movie you hear the breathing under the sack while he's watching the two people across the street. And then you hear the old man breathing, but then you also don't hear the old man breathing and don't hear the kid breathing. No idea.
The raspy breathing came and went depending on, I guess, when the sound mixer, he showed up some days, and other days he's like, I'm out, and they're like, just go with it.
This movie's a hot mess. Yeah.
Well, continuity, man. At this point is where we get the conclusion.
The dun-dun-dun surprising twist.
So, at the conclusion is where, as Sam is about to kill this guy, he gets a candy bar out of it. I guess that stops Sam because he's given candy. So in turn, now he's got the Halloween spirit because he gave candy to Sam. So at this point, yes. So
that
at
was
this
my
point,
assumption. I was like, I don't know. I'm just going along with the ride at this point. I have no idea what is happening in this movie. I'm just like, sure.
But you hate roller coasters.
He's going with the chewed off lollipop that he has, and he's going to stab him.
He's trying to stab him.
But it hits the candy bar that's like on the guy's chest. And so,
it was like he was being given candy by the man.
Now, hold on. Was he going to stab him with the lollipop? I thought that the guy gave him the lollipop, and that's when he goes and kills the woman with the lollipop.
No, he pulls the lollipop out, and he bites it in half to make it so he can stab him.
Okay,
That's when he's super angry after the dude shot him and he has his hand come back. That's when he pulls out the lollipop. He's like, oh, we're playing shotgun games. Okay. I was just playing around with you before. Now I'm done.
So the old man does not die. He's just beat up and now he's bandaged up somehow very quickly and he's passing out candy.
And also, so when we first meet the old man, he's burning photos. And then at the end, we zoom in on the fireplace and we see that the photo is actually the guy, the bus driver with all the kids. And so now we put two and two together. But the thing is, he's waited however long to burn these photos because he's much older than in the bus driver flashback. It's probably like 30 years. And so he's kept these photos of him being the bus driver and the killed kids. And he decides now on Halloween night, 30 years later, I'm going to burn the photos today.
Well, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it was the anniversary of all that. And he was like, I'm just going to get rid of this stuff. I don't know. You probably should have gotten rid of it way earlier.
As soon as I crawled out of the bus wreckage, I'm changing my name. I'm moving out of the town. And I'm getting rid of any records.
I agree with that.
Just going to move right back into my place. I don't know what happened.
I'll just go back to the same house. I don't know what happened to that bus.
It's so weird, man. I was supposed to
bus driver. I'm not a bus driver.
So, and we see the werewolf girls all back to human form, driving their minivan or something like that, all laughing and playing as they pass by the principal's house. And now the principal's son is dressed up like the principal, handing out candy on his front porch. We're kind of seeing all the vignettes kind of come together in this one final scene, which is pretty cool.
And so it's so cool that, so the old guy, again, he's bandaged up. And he just had this whole ordeal. No, just let me go timeline based. So he's bandaged up. He dealt with Sam. But he, when Sam first arrived, he was watching the news and they said it's 8 p.m. So we literally have an anchor in time that's 8 p.m. He's watching the news. Sam shows up right then, like literally a minute. He changes the channel. And so it's been a minute. So it's maybe 8:01. Sam's there. So I don't know how long Sam is terrorizing this guy. But so he then when Sam leaves, he goes down to the guy, essentially the sidewalk in front of the old guy's house. That's where Sam's at. After he leaves, after he's been terrorized, he gets the candy. At that point, the lady comes home in the robot outfit from the very beginning. How late could this possibly be that she's already home? And every, like, the werewolves are already done. Everything got pushed way advanced because the whole sequence of the vampire guy is right after the news story as well. Because we see, actually, don't see it on TV. We see the live camera guy taking the footage. And that's when the vampire guy is killing that lady. So the werewolf thing happens with, everything happens pretty much between 8 and like 9 or 10 p.m. All the stories somehow really quickly happen. Even though a lot happens in the individual stories and there's fast forwarding time as it's developed, it's crazy how much the principal did in 2 hours and how much the werewolves had their whole party and Rager in 2 hours and getting all the dates and getting their costumes. It's crazy. They shouldn't have never said what time it was in that news footage.
They should have had a better screenwriter.
Well,
director.
All in all, out of this podcast, it sounds like we got one person who enjoyed it and the other two just don't.
But that's okay, the great thing about horror, because horror, like, as I say, I'm someone who likes bad horror. So if you like it and you enjoyed it, that's fine. That's what horror should be. For me, it just didn't work.
I'm curious, what would you consider like a good horror movie, like that you would want to watch every year for Halloween?
The Shining.
I was going to say The Shining, too.
I watch that two times a year, every year, if not more.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I say, like, The Shining.
That's kind of a snore fest for me. Yeah, I don't find that movie scary at all. The
vast majority of people.
Like,
it's not about being scary. I just love it from like, every perspective. Like, the music, the cinematography, the acting, the editing.
It's
fantastic.
It's more of a suspense than anything.
I know,
it's got a couple creepy scenes, but that's about it. I wouldn't consider that horror.
I would think that everyone on the planet would consider that movie a horror movie, but okay.
And they can, but I don't find it to be scary at all. Like, when I think of horror, I think of scary. Like, I'm on the edge of my seat thinking.
I would say a scary, if you want like a real good scary movie, the first Conjuring movie, I would say, is a good scary movie.
Okay, okay. Yes.
Or Sinister. Or something, or
anything to do with
Insidious.
Like that real stuff, like demons and shit like that. I don't like that stuff. That I won't watch. Like Paranormal Activity, I won't watch. I like that stuff is just okay. You got me there. Yep, that's scary.
All right, well there you go.
There you go. Yeah, I like to have fun with my Halloween-y movies.
So, Prague, give an example of a good fun horror movie then. Since this was not fun for you, what's a fun horror movie?
I was almost going to say Leprechaun, but that wasn't quite as fun as I wanted it to be. I would say that the Chucky movies are kind of fun. Like, they're silly, stupid, like a puppet that like runs around like cussing and killing people. Is like, it's so stupid.
That's
it's funny.
So dumb. This was
exactly,
better than
but
Chucky.
It's funny. Exactly.
Oh my. Oh, come
sir.
On, dude.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm just, maybe it's because I don't find Chucky scary either. I saw a doll running after me with a knife, hold on. That's true. Okay. But
I didn't say scary because nothing scares me. Nothing scares me. So I don't watch horror to be scared. I watch it to have fun and laugh and enjoy the kills.
Horror movies don't scare me. What scares me are more existential crisis movies about psychological ideals. See, that doesn't classify as horror.
Right.
So
right,
exactly. So when you ask me like for a scary movie, like I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's a scary movie.
Well, I think you just came up with like, I mean, The Conjuring, Paranormal Activity, those type of
there
movies. Though to me, that is some real scary stuff.
I like that stuff.
Yeah. Even though the new Paranormal Activity, actually, I think it's the new Paranormal Activity, looks pretty good. Like this, I don't know if it's paranormal. Never mind. It might be something
else.
Anyways, We're running.
You know what
long.
Movies I like to. So after I watched this movie, HBO Max is like, you might be interested in. And they have the 5-film collection of Final Destination. I'm like, so Final Destination 2, the intro of that is one of my favorites. So I put that on after Trick or Treat. And it just gave me a good idea, like a good film ideal.
I love the memes where it's like, if you were raised in the 90s and 2000s and you see a log truck.
Yep.
Yeah, you're terrified. I'm like, exactly. Yes, absolutely. Log trucks are scary. The only other time I've ever seen a log truck is Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase, and they drive their car underneath a log truck. And I always thought that was so cool until Final Destination 2.
Ruined it.
Ruined it for me. Damn.
Final Destination. We should do a podcast where we go over the best kills in Final Destination movies.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah.
Or just
sure,
best kills in horror. We could do that too.
Ooh.
You know, if we want to watch another fun horror movie, yeah. Ernest Scared Stupid. I will say, dude, the monster in Ernest Scared Stupid is actually pretty terrifying. Like, I remember being terrified of that guy as a kid.
I don't know if I could sit through one of those movies now, though. Like, when I was a kid, I liked him a lot, but like, I don't know if I can sit through that now.
I love Ernest.
Maybe.
You know what I mean, Vern?
Oh, yeah. All those. So anyways,
yeah,
that was fun.
Trick or Treat, if you had to give it a score out of 10, what would you give it?
After talking to you guys, I'm probably leaning on a 7 at this point. I was probably a little bit higher, but I'm gonna go as low as a 7. Like, I do still see myself watching this again next year for Halloween, just because it is rooted in Halloween. The whole point of the movie is to keep the Halloween spirit alive, and I like that. I like the Halloween spirit thing. So,
gotcha. If they had more of that throughout the film, it would have been higher for me too, because I enjoy that aspect of it. But that was only like a third of the movie, unfortunately.
And I get that. I get that.
So I'm gonna rate it a 6 out of 10.
That's still higher than I expected. You did that last week.
So, as I said, I didn't hate it when I watched it. I just was like, eh.
Yeah, I feel like the sequence where Rhonda's talking to the other little kid and she's talking about the origins of Halloween and the traditions, if that was at the very beginning of the film and she established ground rules, and then they said, if you break these rules, there's this entity known as Sam that comes out. If that's like the first 5 minutes, and then we go into the lady and her husband getting attacked and killed.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're doing,
and then we go into Sam at the end, and we cut out everything else that's the principals and the werewolves and the fake vampire and everything like that. I'd probably make this movie an 8. But without that, and just like how it just is this hodgepodge of random stuff where it seems like every day they had different shoots and different ideas of what this film was going to be,
like I'd probably give it...
I was going to say 6, but now it feels worse. And so I'm going to say it's a 5 because I don't want to ever watch it again. But with that said, it wasn't horrible. I didn't hate watching it. I didn't be like, right. God, this is just a waste of time. I don't know what I'm doing. I just was so bored. And I was glad that it was only an hour and 15 minutes of wasting my time.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is what you just said. You could take this movie as is and just re-edit this movie.
You could re-edit this movie.
And you can turn this into a higher score type of movie just by re-editing it.
Yeah, they have the elements there.
Are we like trying to beat the time of the movie? Because I think we're succeeding
getting close
right now.
Oh, man. That's all I have to say on this.
Yeah, I'll stick with my 7, though. And I wouldn't mind seeing a re-edit, though. I think that would be kind of fun to see if someone could come up with a better re-edit of this thing. A director's cut.
So, to everyone, let us know what you thought of Trick or Treat. Did you watch it? Are we just totally off base? Let us know. Send us one of those voicemails with your own opinion of Trick or Treat. And what other movies should we talk about? I certainly do know. So, until then... We hope you enjoy. We'll talk to you next.
Oh, prog out.
Adios, y'all.